gather here on the Lord's Day, this day that we celebrate fathers in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Next Sunday, we have a little bit of a different worship service schedule. Next Sunday morning, we will have an outside worship service. We're going to do one outside worship service a month these summer seasons. And so next Sunday, weather permitting, we will have a 9 o'clock outside worship service in the upstairs parking lot. Then at 10 a.m. we will have Sunday school, and then 11 o'clock we will have an inside worship service. So if you enjoy worshiping outside next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock outside where we will gather, the 11 o'clock service will be the service that is streamed on Facebook Live. So join us next Sunday morning for one or both of those worship services, and come at 10 o'clock for Sunday school next Sunday morning. I do also want to remind you that our June book study that we are doing, instead of doing a week-by-week study, during the month of June, we're reading one book, and we're going to gather next Wednesday on June 30th to discuss the book, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. We'll be gathering in the prayer garden, assuming the weather is nice, at 10 a.m. to discuss this book. So I hope you'll join with me at 10 a.m. on June 30th. Bring a picnic lunch. We'll enjoy a lunch, a time of discussion, a time of fellowship, as we discuss this book that was written many years ago by the author and theologian C.S. Lewis. And hopefully you've been touched by reading this book together as a church body. We are doing a couple of mission collections during the month of June, and you've heard about these in the last couple of weeks, and these continue. One of those collections is collecting food items and drink items for Camp Green Leaves, the camp that we are hosting from the city of Burlington. This camp starts tomorrow morning. I want you to be in prayer for Camp Green Leaves. I want you to be in prayer for the counselors that will be leading the campers these next 4 weeks. I want you to be in prayer for the campers. I want you to be in prayer for the directors, Liz Hill and Joseph Reinheim, that everything goes smoothly. I want you to be in prayer for the facility, that everything goes smoothly. But tomorrow morning is when it starts. So remember, if you come by the church starting tomorrow, you can see lots of people around, and you're wondering, what in the world is going on at church? Camp Greenleaf is going on at church. And be in prayer for this camp, but keep bringing those items. Every day they'll be providing snack items for the campers, and we want to be helping them with this one item. So you can bring those items to the church. You can drop them off in the lower entrance. You can drop them off in the fellowship hall. So keep that supply coming. We're also collecting items for the new patient bags for the Alamance Regional Charitable Foundation. Those items can be dropped off at the lower entrance here during the week, and we're going to be giving those items to the Alamance Regional Charitable Foundation at the end of the month of June. Also, this past week, many of you have heard the story about Officer Orlando Maynard and the tragic death of his 3-year-old son. It's just a tragic story that has touched our community. And one of the ways that we can assist this family is to pray. Pray for this family and the grief that they're going through right now at this time. Another way that we can assist this family is the Elon Community Church has started a fund to assist them with this unexpected tragedy they're going through right now. I talked to Randy Orwick, pastor of Elon Community Church, and we're going to partner with them in helping support just some of the costs that come at this time right now. So you received an email from me yesterday. If you want to support the Maynard family during this time and this tragedy, you can place an envelope and just mark Maynard Fund in the offering place today. You can bring it by this week and bring that donation, and we'll be forwarding that money to Elon Community Church, and that fund will go to support any type of financial need Officer Orlando Maynard and his family have during this time. We'll continue to be in prayer for this family, be in prayer for the community, be in prayer for the entire Elon Police Department at this time during this tragic loss. There are many other things coming up in the next couple weeks. I hope you read the newsletter. You'll see items coming up in July. We've got a cookout coming up on July 11th. We want you to be a part of. Sign sheet will start coming out next week for being a part of that night. We're going to just gather for a cookout, traditional July cookout, as we all do. I hope you'll be a part of that as well. But stay in touch. Stay in tune with those things coming up in the next couple weeks. We are gathered here to worship. We're gathered here to celebrate. We are gathered in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Let's sing praise to Him this morning.
Our first hymn this morning is Faith of Our Fathers. Let's stand and worship together.
Faith of our Father.
comes from Psalm 107. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3 and verses 23 through 32 this morning. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up the tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. We gather here in the assembly of the people to exalt him, to exalt he, the one who brought us into being. He, the one that has called us together. He, the one that we go out in faith and honor and love. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, our companion and guide, we would be lost without you, without your direction, wanderers in wildernesses of our own making. We praise you for dealing so graciously with your people in the past when you guided them to freedom and a promised new life. We are heirs of that promise, the promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Through him, you have established for us a permanent direction for our lives. And as we dwell in him, our lives are blessed with fruitfulness. Holy God, may this time of worship this morning be a joyful response of praise and thanksgiving for all that you have done, for all that you are doing, for all that you will continue to do for us and for your people through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Next hymn this morning is Give Thanks. Let's stay and let's worship together.
Oh,
celebrate Father's Day. If we think about it, from the beginning of time, God has inspired men to live lives of faith and hope, and to pass these lessons down to all those that they guide. Whether the label they may carry is father, grandfather, great-grandfather, uncle, cousin, boss, teacher, co-worker, coach, or just simply friend, the impact that these men have on the lives of others is oftentimes immeasurable. So at this time, I want to encourage all the men in our congregation, all that may hold or carry one of those labels that I just mentioned, to please stand at this time. First, let me say thank you. Thank you for your lives of faith. Thank you for the models of faith that you live every single day. And as you stand, Gay and Pam are passing out a gift of our appreciation to you. Thank you for your continued impact, not just on your family members, not just on the friends, but the world, because the impact that you have goes far beyond what you might see on a daily basis. At this time, I'm going to ask the congregation, if you would, join with me in reading the Father's Day litany that is printed in your bulletin. It will also be displayed on the worship screens behind me. I will read the leader part, and if you would join with me in reading the all part. The world's human community began with one man. The redemption of humanity was wrought by one man. Today we celebrate the contributions of strong, godly men to our community.
We celebrate men who, with the wisdom of Solomon, seek God's perfect plan for their lives and the lives they influence.
We appreciate men who, with the spirit of David, seek repentance as men after God's own heart.
We acknowledge men who, with the obedience of Abraham, follow God's direction, help shape the lives of their families, and ultimately change the world.
We honor men who, like Peter, are fallible, yet passionate about serving the Lord and fervently building his kingdom.
As Joseph cared for his father and brothers, we care for the men of our community by generously sharing our resources, our time, and our unconditional love.
We pray for men who have the inner and outward strength of Samson, but have lost their way.
We're grateful for men who, like the Apostle Paul, teach us Christian principles and values.
Today we celebrate men who strive in all things to be like Jesus, exhibiting his character and his love. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, we give our thanks for the fathers in our lives. Fatherhood does not come with a manual, and reality teaches us that some fathers excel while other fathers fail. We ask for your blessings for them all, and forgiveness where it is needed. This Father's Day, we remember the many sacrifices fathers make for their children and families, and the ways, both big and small, they lift children to achieve dreams thought beyond reach. So too today, we remember all those who have helped fill the void when fathers pass early or are absent, grandfathers and uncles, brothers and cousins, teachers, pastors and coaches, and the women of our families. For those who are fathers, we ask for wisdom and humility in the face of the task of parenting. Give them the strength to do well by their children and by you, in your holy name. Oh God, we pray this today. Amen. Thank you, fathers, for all that you do and all that you continue to do. At this time, we'll call on Chip Ferguson to come with our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Father, thank you that you are the light of the world, guiding our steps on your path. Your word says that the earth is yours and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to you. We recognize everything we have belongs to you. We acknowledge that our very lives belong to you. We now offer back to you a portion of what you have given us. May God the Father prepare our journey, Jesus the Son guide our footsteps, and the Holy Spirit watch over us on every path that we follow. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Out of thinking about 20 until 9, if that would work for you.
That would be perfect. That's exactly the time that I was thinking of.
Say, Mom, we still have about 45 minutes before it's time to go. We can clean up the dishes while you go have some quiet time.
I think I will.
Okay, kids, let's you get the most work done in the least amount of time.
Some of the false expectations of what perfection is supposed to be. You see, the Bible has hundreds of references of Christian parenting and numerous examples specifically of fathers, both good and bad, that can give us insight to the heart and the intention of God's precepts of parenting and family. But each of us, now I'm not just talking to fathers this morning, each of us should strive to be perfect, but not perfect by what the world says, perfect by what God says. That's our goal. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." If we're seeking to be perfect, and my title for my sermon today is "The Perfect Father," the perfect Father is our heavenly Father. And that's what we strive to be. But we know, and Jesus was speaking to each of us about seeking to have the heart and the mind of God that will impact both our attitudes and our actions. We know that we will fall short. We fall short. We don't have the positive thoughts that are going to clean our daughter's dress from the mud stain that they have as they walk into the church. We don't have the positive thoughts that give our mother extra 45 minutes while she doesn't have to clean up the dishes off the table so she can have a little quiet time, right? We don't do that. We fall short. We will not model the view of the perfect that we just watch, that the world says is perfect. However, if we seek to live out our lives in our attitudes and our actions with the heart and mind of God, the heart and mind of the perfect Father, we can be and strive to be perfect for Him and for them. Let's see the words of advice that the Apostle Paul shares for each of us this morning about being the perfect Father. But you can take that word out at the end there and you can add the perfect grandfather or the perfect mother or the perfect grandmother or the perfect brother or sister or worker or teacher. Whatever label that you carry right now, put it in on the end of my sermon title today. Or we can all just say, the perfect Christian. Let's see what Paul has to say. If you have your Bibles this morning, whatever translation that you brought today is just okay. I'll be reading from the New International Version this morning. We're reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 this morning. You see, when Paul wrote this letter, he founded the church at Thessalonica during his second missionary journey. And something to know about this is located in an area that was hostile to this new Christian way. This was a new idea in the Thessalonica region, and they were opposed to it from the very outset. When the church was founded, they tried to push it out. They tried to get rid of it immediately. And Paul had a tough time starting this church and trying to encourage them to keep pushing forward despite what they were facing. So Paul wrote this first letter to the church, encouraging them to continue to grow in their faith despite the hostile circumstances they were facing. And the reason why I want to choose these verses today is because oftentimes the hostile circumstances that we face in the world today is what the image of what we just looked at this morning. That's the hostile circumstance that we face today. Now you might be thinking, how is that hostile? Because that's what the world says we're called to be like. But that's not what God says we're supposed to be like. What does Scripture say this morning? What does Paul say about being a father figure? Essentially, Paul was serving as a father figure for this church. And he says these words this morning, reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Three things, three points, three simple statements that our Heavenly Father calls us to do that we can follow to be perfect fathers, mothers, grandfathers, Christians today. For a Christian father to be perfect, he must first encourage. Encouragement must be given to each child in a way that is significant to that child. If we look at the Old Testament, we can remember the story of Jacob and all of his sons. Jacob had a lot of sons, if we remember the Old Testament story. Jacob did an absolutely wonderful job of encouraging one of his sons, Joseph. That's the one we got all the stories about. We didn't get a lot of stories about the other sons. Jacob didn't do such a good job encouraging the other ones. What did it lead to? It led to his other sons throwing Joseph in a pit, selling him off into slavery. Didn't lead to a very good relationship, right? Actually, Jacob's encouragement of Joseph and his encouraging just the one son and not the others led to rebellion within the family. Not just rebellion between father and sons, but within sibling rivalries. So he recognized good with Joseph and he encouraged him well, but not so well with the others. Every child is different. Every child is different. If you have the opportunity, whether it's your own children, grandchildren, students, or just children from your neighborhood, spend a few minutes and carefully watch their unique characteristics and talents. Even within a few minutes, you start seeing differences. You start seeing those that are introverted, those that are extroverted, those that are willing to take chances, those that are willing to take a step back and be a little bit more cautious, those that like to talk, those that like to not talk so much. You see differences, even within your own children. Use those differences, those unique characteristics and traits as touch points for your encouragement. Encourage their uniqueness. That's where you start seeing differences and unique and opportunities to see them grow. In Southern Africa, the Bemba tribe has a fascinating procedure of doing this, specifically to combat the feeling of rejection and building up encouragement for differences within their tribe. Each person in the tribe, if a person acts irresponsible or they do something that is unjust in their tribe, is immediately taken to the middle of the tribe circle. Everybody stops what they're doing. They stop, they drop everything. It doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're at work, whether you're at school, it doesn't matter what time of day. They stop what they're doing. That individual is taken to the middle of the circle of the tribe, and everybody circles around them. And you might be thinking, well, how is this encouraging? Let's just call them out. What are they going to do? Throw stones at them? You know, hurl insults at them? Instead, each individual of the tribe lifts up words of encouragement, words of positivity to that individual. Interactions with them that they've had that are positive. They call out characteristics they identify in that individual that they see that are good. And this can go on for days. For days they'll sit there and lift this person up. It's a way of bringing them back into the tribe. Interesting way of encouraging someone. Maybe they have something that we should grab hold of. Not one word of irresponsible or antisocial behavior is said. Not one negative is said. The ceremony, which can last for days, is not complete until all those assembled have said something positive and everything has been laid out in front of them. Can you imagine the flood of feelings that individual feels at the end of that tribal circle? Can you imagine what it feels like to be surrounded by individuals had just hurled encouragement at you for days. Makes you want to go join the Vimpa tribe, doesn't it? This is what encouragement looks like. But that's not all. Paul also says to be perfect, to be a Christian father, to be perfect, you also must comfort. One of the actions that our Heavenly Father continues to show us is wrapping His comforting arms around us. 2 Corinthians 7:6 says, God who comforts the downcast comforted us. How oftentimes can we remember a time in our lives when we were down and out, barely holding it together? We did not think we could keep it going, and just in the right time, in a God time, someone wrapped their arms around us. We got a phone call, we got a visit, and someone just gave us that word, that hug that we just needed. Maybe it was our father. Maybe it was our grandfather. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was our spouse. There is something about the comfort of human touch that can allow us to release the emotions in our lives that we need to let go. God does this for us, and we can do that for others. Remember the story of the prodigal son. We talked about this in our study as we were looking at the Lord's Prayer in the last couple weeks. We remember that the father ran out to the end of the road. He didn't wait at his home and wait till his prodigal son came to him. He went and met him at the end of the road, running at him and embraced him. This is comfort. But it didn't stop there. When he came back, he had to comfort the other son, the brother that was fuming in the corner, and he comforted him in a different way. Unique, different children, comforted in a different way. Providing comfort is important. Comfort can be shared in many different ways. It's not always by a hug. It can be through words. It also can be just working side by side with someone, letting them know you're there for them. Author, pastor Max Lucado, and I'm sure many of you have read one of Max Lucado's books. He's probably got 100 or so out there right now. But Max Lucado shared the story of a father and retired firefighter, Lee Yelp. For 26 years, Lee gave his life serving the city of New York as a firefighter. On September 11th, 2001, he gave much more. He gave his son, Jonathan, who was a firefighter as well. When the Twin Towers fell, his son, Jonathan, was there and he was killed. Firefighters are a loyal clan. They're a loyal group. When a firefighter perishes in the line of duty, the body is left where it is until a firefighter who knows that individual personally, knows the fallen, and can quite literally pick the body up and remove it from its location. Lee made it his personal mission to find his son in the rubble of the Twin Towers. He, along with dozens of other firefighters who comforted Lee simply by working alongside him, served for 3 straight months in the approximate location of where Jonathan had fallen. And 3 months later, on December 11th, they finally found the body of Jonathan. And Lee was the one who carried his son out of the rubble. But the rest of the firefighters were with him, right beside him, comforting them, not with words, but by simply with his presence. That's what true comfort looks like. It's a good father. A good Christian comforts. But that's not the final thing. Finally, for a Christian father to be perfect, he must urge his children to live for God. Teaching is an important task for a father. Grandfather, teacher, coach, really for any Christian, seeking to pass the wisdom that you have learned on to the next generation so the faith keeps getting passed on is important. This is what Paul was doing in Thessalonica. He was a teacher. He was passing on his faith to this new church so they could do the same thing. He was passing down his Christian wisdom down to his, what you would call, his spiritual children. Passing down is not just through words, though. It's also through actions. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Words and actions go a long way in passing our faith along to the next generation. Notice I said words and actions. Our words and our ways are important. Spending quality time with our children is essential. The life lessons that these children learn from the quality time that we spend with them is invaluable. A pastor was quizzing children during a children's sermon one Sunday morning on Father's Day. He asked the children that were gathered down front, "Share with me something that your father has taught you." Hands immediately shot up. All the children threw their hands up. One little boy, Timmy, was at the very back, and he shot up like a rocket. He was jumping up and down. He was saying, "Oh, Pastor, call me, call me, call me." And as any good pastor would do, he didn't call him first. He actually called Susie, who was sitting up in front. He said, "Susie, what does your dad teach you?" And he said, "Well, my dad has taught me," she said, "my dad taught me how to ride a bike." "Well, that's great, Susie, that's wonderful." So everybody's hand, Timmy's in the back, just jumping up and down like he can't stop. So as any good pastor would have called on Sean when he's sitting beside Susie. "Sean, what did your dad teach you?" "Well, my dad taught me the ABCs." "Well, that's great." Next, the pastor called on Rose. Rose said, "Well, my father taught me how to jump rope." "Well, that's great. Those are wonderful lessons." At this point, Timmy is just jumping up and down, like hands going up and down, and he is going crazy. So finally, the pastor said, "Okay, Timmy, what did your dad teach you?" He said, "My dad taught me to raise my hand and ask permission before I have to go to the bathroom." And he took him out the door and ran out of the sanctuary. You see, the words that we speak and the actions that we take, sharing the word of God with our children, how we speak to our family members like our spouses, our parents, our children, and our siblings, and speaking and showing words of love and respect to and about our co-workers, even to the poor and the downtrodden, even to our enemies, is important. It teaches a lesson. The way you talk and you treat others goes a long way in what the next generation sees and how they will act. Urge your children to live lives like you and model it, which is hopefully in Christ's likeness. The actions that we take, making our spiritual walk with the Lord a priority, speaking out against injustice, helping the least of these in kindness and love, going the extra mile, should show the next generation what the Christian walk looks like. It is a father's responsibility. It is all our responsibility to urge this life with God. As I close today, I want to encourage you, don't try to be perfect like the video wants us to be perfect. That's not what we need. Instead, I want you to strive to be perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect. And we'll fall short. When we fall short, know that we have a Heavenly Father that encourages us. Know that we have a Heavenly Father that comforts us. And know that we have a Heavenly Father that urges us to keep living for Him. And let us do that same thing each and every day. And let us offer these gifts to the next generation. And let's see how the world will be changed. Let us pray. Father, as we gather here this morning, perfection is something that we strive for probably on a daily basis, and we fall woefully short. But may we be reminded that our Heavenly Father has given us a model of what it looks like to live like, to live a life of love for you. Father, may we be encouraging, comforting, urging to live a life of love that you showed through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, when we fall short, we know that you are there to forgive us, help us to get up, to encourage us to keep going. Father, wherever we are today, whether we can call ourselves, label us ourselves as fathers, or whether we just label ourselves as followers of you, May we strive to be perfect like you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, maybe today you've realized that you're striving to be perfect like the video instead of striving to be perfect in God's eyes. If this is the first time you realize maybe I've been striving for the wrong thing and you realize you should be striving for Christ, I'll be down front to meet you where you are. Please come and talk to me. Let me talk to you about what it means to turn your life over to Him. Or maybe you're looking for a church family, a body of believers that seeks to encourage, to comfort, and live a life of Christ, to build the kingdom of God. First Baptist Elon is that place for you. Let me talk to you about what it means to be a part of this family, to be an actively engaged follower for Him. Or maybe just today, maybe Father's Day is a day, maybe not necessarily a day of celebration, it's a day of struggle. The altar is always open. Come and lay whatever you need on the altar. Come talk to me. I'll pray with you down front. Whatever decision you need to make today, don't put it off. Make it this morning. Let us stand and sing this day. Go in peace, and we'll see you next Sunday.